Our message today is about the greatest gift ever given to anyone, ever. And before we begin, let us pray. Father in heaven, we're going to be talking this morning about your precious Son and the great gift that you gave to us in His presence. Lord, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and open our hearts and our minds to really see and understand the greatest gift ever given, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift to ransom us back from the hand of the enemy. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is the age-old story of the birth of the Messiah. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, he found out that she was going to have a baby. Now that would alert people today. Joseph was a man who always tried to do what was right. But he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. And while he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, if you would, please turn to hymn number 115 in your hymnal. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of O Come, Emmanuel. 1 and 3. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations bind, all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. By coming to live with us, Jesus was to reveal God both to human beings and to angels. He was the Word of God, God's thought made audible. At that time, Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own hometown. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. He went there with Mary to register because he was a descendant of King David. Now Mary was still pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to Jesus, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a feeding trough, or a manger, because there was no room for them to stay at the inn. In the fields, where many centuries earlier the boy David had led his flock, shepherds were still out there tending their sheep. In the silent hours of the night, They talked together of the promised Savior and prayed for the coming of the king to David's throne. And then one night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day, in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord." At these words, visions of glory filled the minds of the listening shepherds. The Deliverer has come to Israel. Power, exaltation, and triumph are associated with His coming. But the angel must prepare them to recognize their Savior in poverty and humiliation. He said, "You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Then the heavenly messenger reassured them and told them how to find Jesus. With tender consideration for their human weakness, he gave them time to become accustomed to the divine radiance. And then the angels could no longer contain their joy. The whole plain was lighted up with the bright shining of the angels of God. The earth was hushed, and heaven stooped low to listen to their song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now let's turn to number 142, Angels We Have Heard on High. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. Hymn number 142, verses 1 and 3.
Angels we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the night, and the mountains in reply, echoing their brave delight. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo.
As the angels disappeared, the light faded away and the shadows of night fell again on the hills of Bethlehem. But the brightest picture ever seen by human eyes remained in the memory of the shepherds. Then the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby Jesus lying in a manger. When the shepherds saw Him, they told the couple what the angel had said about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. And Mary remembered all these things and kept them in her heart. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angels had told them. Soon afterwards, some wise men who studied the stars and the scriptures came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby, the born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." On the night when the angels appeared to the shepherds, the wise men had seen a strange light in the heavens. And as the light faded, a glowing star appeared and lingered in the sky. Its appearance greatly excited them. They knew it was not a fixed star or a planet, but they did not know that it was a distant company of shining angels up there. And yet they were impressed that the star had special meaning for them. They consulted priests and philosophers and searched the ancient records. The prophecy of Balaam had declared, "A king like a bright star will arise in that nation like a comet. He'll come from Israel." Numbers 24:17. Could this strange star have been sent to announce the coming of the Promised One? Because the Magi had accepted truth as heaven had sent it to them, they now received more truth. Through dreams, they were instructed to go in search of a newborn prince. At this time, we want to turn to 137, hymn number 137. We want to sing We Three Kings, and we want to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. And when we finish that, keep your finger in that place, because we're going to come back and do number 5. So, We Three Kings, 1, 2, and 3.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still, proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, see, sing never over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Now, it was necessary to travel at night in order to keep the star in view, but they whiled away the hours by repeating traditional sayings and prophecies concerning the very one they sought. At every pause for rest, they searched the prophecies, and the conviction deepened that they were divinely guided. While they had the star before them as an outward sign, they also had the inward evidence of the Holy Spirit, who was impressing their hearts and inspiring them with hope. And the journey, though long, was a happy one for them. Now, let's sing verse 5 of 137.
Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
The news that the wise men or the Magi had arrived in Jerusalem spread quickly throughout that whole city, finally reaching the palace of King Herod. Their strange errand excited the people. But the crafty ruler, Herod, was angered at the thought of a possible rival. He invited the Magi to a private interview while wrath and fear raged in his heart. But he received the strangers courteously. Calmly he asked at what time a star had appeared and pretended to be happy that the Messiah might have been born. He instructed his visitors, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." The wise men departed alone from Jerusalem, and the shadows of night were falling as they left the gates. But to their great joy, they again saw that star and followed it to Bethlehem. At Bethlehem, they found no royal guard stationed to protect the newborn king, and none of the world's important people were there to honor him. Jesus was cradled there in a manger or a feeding trough. His parents, uneducated, poor people, were his only guardians. But in the baby Jesus, these Magi recognized the presence of divinity, and they gave their hearts to him as their Savior. And then they poured out their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men had not seen through Herod's plot against Jesus. Thus, after finding the baby in Bethlehem, they prepared to return to Jerusalem, intending to tell Herod of their success. But in a dream, they received a divine message from the Lord to have nothing more to do with Herod. So, avoiding Jerusalem, they set out for their own country by another route. Amen. Joseph also was warned to flee, and he escaped to Egypt with Mary and the child. God, who never slumbers or sleeps, and I'm thankful for that, Amen, was watching over his beloved son. He who had rained manna from heaven for Israel and had fed Elijah in a time of famine provided a refuge for Mary and the child Jesus. And through the gifts of the Magi, God supplied the money for their journey to Egypt and their stay in the land of strangers. Herod, in Jerusalem, awaited impatiently the return of the wise men. And as time passed, they did not appear. He grew suspicious, and soldiers were sent out at once to Bethlehem with orders to kill all the children of 2 years and under. This act of cruelty was one of the last that darkened the reign of Herod. Soon after the slaughter of the innocent children, he died a horrible death. Joseph, who was still in Egypt, was now instructed by an angel that it was safe to return to the land of Israel. So he returned to Nazareth, his former home, and there for nearly 30 years, Jesus grew and lived. Now, when Jesus was a child, his life was a life in harmony with God. While he was a child, he thought and he spoke as a child, but no trace of sin marred the image of God within him. Yet he was not exempt from temptation. The inhabitants of Nazareth were noted for their wickedness. Jesus was placed where his character will be tested. We can apply that to ourselves. He had to be constantly on guard in order to preserve his purity. He was subject to all the conflicts that we, you and I, have to meet, that he might be an example to us in childhood, youth, and in adulthood. And we have to meet those tests and trials too, so that we can be an example to others that Jesus lives in our heart. During his ministry, Jesus spent more time healing the sick than he did preaching. His miracles testified to the truth of his words, that he came not to destroy, but to save. His voice was the first sound that many had ever heard. His name, the first word they had ever spoken. His face, the first they had ever looked into. Why should they not love Jesus? And why should we not love Jesus? Why should we not sound His praises wherever we go? As Jesus passed through the towns and cities, He spread life and joy wherever He went. Yeah. Friends, Jesus reached the hearts of the people by going among them. He demonstrated that He desired their good. He sought them in the public streets, in private houses, on the boats, and in the synagogues or the church, and by the shores of the lake, and at the marriage feast. He met them at their daily occupations. In other words, where we work, we meet people too, and we can be a witness to them. And Jesus showed an interest in their secular affairs. You catch that? In their secular affairs. By visiting with families in their own homes, He brought them under His divine influence. His strong personal sympathy helped to win hearts. He often retreated to the mountains for solitary prayer. That's another key thing that we need to put into practice. We're shortly going to have 10 days of prayer coming up here. We want to participate in that. And also, I want to mention that there are free Bible Promise books outside here for everyone who wants one. And I think everybody should have one, because 2 Peter 1:4 says that whereby are we given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises we might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. So, we need those promises and put them in our mind. Learn them. So they're out there free for anybody who wants one. Okay. Jesus' strong personal sympathy in hearts. He often retreated to the mountains to pray. We need to retreat to our closets to pray and get strength from the Lord. And then He returned to instruct the ignorant and to break the chains of sin and diseases from the captives of Satan. And brothers and sisters, there are plenty of captives of Satan out there. Yeah. We need to do our part. Near the end of Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry, increased efforts were made by the chief priests and teachers of the law to find a way of putting Him to death. Now Judas, one of the 12, this is hard to imagine, but one of the 12 disciples knew how eager the leaders were to capture Jesus. So he offered to betray Jesus to the chief priests and elders for a few pieces of silver, the price of a slave. For months, they had hunted Jesus, scheming to trap Him and bring Him to trial in secret, where they might gain by perjury what it was impossible to get by fair means. Now, in violation of the law, they seized Him at midnight, mocked Him, abused Him, and then condemned Him to be crucified. Christ, the precious Son of God, was led forth and delivered to the people to be crucified. The spotless Son of God was hung upon that cross, His flesh lacerated by the whip slash, and those hands so often reached out in blessing, nailed to those wooden bars. Those feet, so tireless on ministries of love, were spiked to the tree. That royal head pierced by the crown of thorns, those quivering lips to the cry of woe for you, 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 and me. Turn now to hymn number 487, please. We want to sing, "I Come to the Garden Alone." We want to sing verses 1 and 3. 487, verses 1 and 3.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling. But He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
And all that He endured, the blood drops that flowed from His head, His hand, His feet, the agony that racked His body, and the unutterable anguish that filled His soul at the hiding of His Father's face, speaks to each child of humanity, declaring, "It is for you, for me, that the Son of God consents to bear this burden of guilt." He didn't deserve it. You and I deserve everything. But He deserves nothing like that. For you, for me, He breaks the power of death and opens the gates of paradise. He who stilled the stormy seas and walked the foam-capped waves, who made devils tremble and diseases flee, who opened blind eyes and raised the dead to life, offers Himself upon the cross as a sacrifice, and this from love for you and me. Friends, Christ's first work on earth after His resurrection was to convince His disciples of His undiminished love and tender regard for them. So He appeared to them again and again. It's something how we have to be told over and over and over again because of our unbelief and our lack of faith. During this time, Christ commissioned His disciples to do the work He had left in their hands, beginning at Jerusalem. They were to share the wonderful truth that forgiveness of sins could be obtained through Christ Jesus alone. But the work was not to stop in Jerusalem. It was to reach all the way around the earth. Thus Christ gave His disciples their commission. And He gave that commission to you and to me. He promised to supply what would be needed to carry on the work and took upon Himself the responsibility for its success. And so long as they obeyed His word, you catch that? And worked in connection with Him, they could not fail. Obeying His word, working in connection with Jesus, we're not going to fail. Even as we try to evangelize and try to reach the people in Batesburg-Leesville, we're not going to fail if we follow that guideline. Go to all nations, go to all the world, He commanded them. Go to every part of the world and know that My presence will be there. Labor in faith and in confidence, for I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. 40 days after His resurrection, Jesus and His disciples climbed the Mount of Olives. Jesus led the way across the summit to the vicinity of Bethany, and here He paused, and the disciples gathered around Him. Beams of light seemed just to radiate right from His face, as he looked lovingly upon them, he did not scold them for their faults and failures. Words of the deepest tenderness were the last the disciples heard from the lips of their Lord. With hands outstretched in blessing, as if in assurance of his protecting care, he slowly ascended up to heaven. As he passed upward, the awe-stricken disciples looked with straining eyes for the last glimpse of their ascending Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you see that? A cloud of glory then hid him from their sight, which is a cloud of angels. And the words came back to them, "Be assured, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28:20. And at the same moment, there floated down to them sweet and joyous music from the angel choir. Jesus is coming again. Praise His holy name now and forevermore. Jesus is coming again. Let's close with hymn number 213. Hymn number 213. Jesus is coming again.